In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Welcome everyone to our service of worship this Sunday, Trinity Sunday. You're most welcome to share in this worship, and we shall be considering the mystery of the three in one, one in three. Let's start with a prayer. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us your servants grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith that we may evermore be defended from all adversities through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now our first hymn, and what else could it be on this Trinity Sunday but Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counsellor has instructed him? Whom did he consult for his enlightenment, and who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as dust on the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor are its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. Your majesty above the heavens is praised, out of the mouths of babes at the breast. You have founded a stronghold against your foes, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you should be mindful of him, the son of man that you should seek him out? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and crown him with glory and honour. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands, and put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the wild beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever moves in the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Governor, how glorious is your name in all the world. This is the word of the Lord. And our epistle reading is continuing our readings in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. And now our gradual hymn before the Gospel. We will be singing this Trinity Sunday of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, declaring our love and asking for him to be glorified. Father, we love you.
Father, we love you. Hear the Gospel according to Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
And now, before the sermon on this Trinity Sunday, we're going to listen to a beautiful little anthem. Composer Thomas Luis de Victoria, Tres Sunt, there are three.
Yeah.
May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a long tradition in the Church that preaching on Trinity Sunday should fall to the curate, and it is pleasing to note that traditions are being respected in this parish. So, explain the Holy Trinity. You have 10 minutes starting from now. Well, I've seen some interesting attempts from the pulpit over the years, including producing some water, some ice, and some steam, and pointing out that they were all H2O, but in different forms. Then there was the cleric who produced a tin of 3-in-1 oil. Finally, perhaps rather more persuasively, there was the priest who pointed out that two different people, he was a son, a husband, and a father, but that he remained the same person. However, I think we have it wrong if we start to talk in terms of explaining the Trinity, as though God could be placed under a microscope to discover some chink in the law of physics by which three can be one, and by which they can be both three and one at the same time. When we gather for a service, we come to meet someone very special, and certainly not an equal, from whom we may demand any explanation. When we do go to church again, we shall gather not to debate or discuss, but to worship. And we do not worship an equal. We are not dealing with one who is subject to the law of physics, but the one who made the law as part of his chosen way of governing the wonderful universe in which we find ourselves, the universe which he created out of nothing. We should not be surprised if we struggle to understand the character of God, just as the clay should not be surprised that it cannot explain the potter. God is the creator, and we are the creatures. Today's reading from Isaiah chapter 40 and Psalm 8 have something to say about the otherness and greatness of God, and about humans' relationship with God. The Isaiah passage is very similar to God's response to Job's demand for an answer to his sufferings. And instead of an answer, we have a reminder of God's awesome power. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Clearly no one has. And when we demand answers, the right to understand, we are seeking to treat God as an equal. However, I don't suppose I am alone in having appointed myself as God's counsellor at various times when I have thought he needed my advice. When talking about God, we need to know our place. Psalm 8 tells us our place, and it's a very good place. We are to be stewards of God's earth, with dominion over the works of his hands. Human beings do have a special, exalted position, but it is a position we have been given by the grace of God, not through any innate abilities of our own. We have our power and authority on earth, but God created us. The heavens are the work of his fingers. Little wonder then that the psalmist exclaims, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, that you care for them?" But God does care for us. He loved us enough to give us life, the ability to love and create and explore, and it is all pure gift. Our response should not be to demand full understanding, but to trust, obey, and worship. This morning's passage from Isaiah, which begins with the demonstration of God's power and superiority, ends with the promise that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. walk and not be faint. Psalm 8 holds together the wondrous sovereignty of God and the glorious dignity of humankind. We see that they are intimately linked and that our dignity is best expressed through love and praise of the one from whom it derives, not in grasping at equality with him. So, in love and humility, what can we created beings say about the Creator? And today especially, what can we say about the nature of God, the Holy Trinity? There are two dangers here. One is to assume that we have the inscrutable character of God fully worked out and domesticated. If so, look out. The being that we think we have understood is unlikely to be God, or will be a God made in our own image, one that always seems to agree with us and never challenges us. The opposite danger is to imagine that we do not know about God at all, as though nothing has been disclosed to us. It is true that we can only know about God what God has revealed to us, but in the Bible, a very great amount has been disclosed. As Christians, we believe that the fullest revelation of God has come to us in the life and person of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity arose first out of the early churches reflecting on how Jesus related to God, and then on how the Holy Spirit was related to God. Such passages as those in St. John's Gospel, where Jesus stresses that he and the Father are one, that he and the Father will send the Spirit as another counsellor, as one like them, and that in the power of the Spirit, he and the Father will come to live in the hearts of believers. All this led the councils of the Church to form the doctrine of the Trinity, which we still express in the creeds. The basic feature of the doctrine is that there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that they are equally divine and of equal status. Now, the words Holy Trinity may not appear in the Bible, but the Holy Trinity definitely does. Today's New Testament reading ends St. Paul's letter, his second letter to the Corinthians, with a very Trinitarian farewell that we know as the grace. The Gospel reading at the very end of St. Matthew has our Lord sending his followers out into the world and telling them to baptize new disciples in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The three members of the Trinity were all present at Christ's baptism. As Jesus emerged from the Jordan, the Father's voice came from heaven as the Spirit descended like a dove. We too are baptized into the life of the Trinity. But the Holy Trinity is not a late Christian invention, an attempt to alter the God of the Old Testament by shoehorning Jesus in somehow. In St. John chapter 17, Jesus prays, "Father, give me glory in your presence now, the same glory I had with you before the world was made." And when we turn to the Genesis creation account, we find God saying, "And now we will make human beings. They will be like us and resemble us." The Bible is showing us a God of three persons, so united in purpose and intimacy that they are one. In seeking to grasp this, it may help us to think of what happens when we speak. Our words are first formed in our minds, and then physically, as we shape our tongue and lips to pronounce them, before breathing them out. There is a very close, intimate relationship between us and our words. We remember that Jesus is God's holy word, and that the Hebrew word for spirit, ruach, also means breath. So all three persons of the Trinity are involved as God speaks creation into existence. Psalm 36 says, By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. Surely here we see the unity and the intimacy of the God who is three in one, three distinct persons in one indivisible Godhead. We cannot explain or fully understand such mystery, but we can worship and adore such a God. Let us then briefly consider the implications of all this for us. If we are made in the image of God, what does it mean that we are made in the image of a God who is Trinity? It means we are designed to meet, we are designed to need one another, we are designed to want one another. We are all unique individuals and loved as such by God. But to be fully human, fully bearing God's image, we have to be relational beings, giving and receiving love, care, generosity. We are meant to reflect the one and the three of the Trinity. And right at the beginning of our species, we hear God say, "It is not good for the man to be alone." God has placed us all in groups, in marriages, families, clans, nations, for mutual love and benefit. This is especially important at the moment, as separation from family and friends has left some people lonely and vulnerable, and we have had to seek new, virtual ways of being together. As believers, God has placed us within the church, which is to be one body. Individual Christians are to be so closely related in Christ that they are like living stones being built together into one structure, like parts of a body that all feel the pain when one part becomes ill or diseased. St. Paul lists various gifts of the Spirit and tells us that these gifts are shared around the Christian community. Everyone has a gift, and they are not for the glory of the individual recipient, but are to be offered for the building up of the whole community. If everyone offers their gift, the community will flourish, and then each individual, as a member of the group, will be most fully alive. This is the degree of relationship and unity to which we, as image bearers of the Holy Trinity, are called to. We shall then be reflecting the life of the Trinity. Finally, and perhaps most discomfortingly, we are called to look with love and compassion beyond the boundaries of our natural groups. God, the Holy Trinity, is absolutely complete, mutually loving, a self-contained group, if you like. God did not need to make the universe, did not need the love and friendship of human beings, but chose to make us out of pure grace, generously giving everything with us, sharing everything with us, always outward looking. We too are called to be looking out beyond the boundaries of our natural groups, seeking to include those who seem most other to us. God places on us a special duty to care for those who are disadvantaged, those who find themselves pushed to the bottom or the edges of society, who struggle to achieve justice and equality. The protests and violence that we have seen in the United States erupted out of one horrific incident, but the incident was simply one example of the multiple injustices faced by African Americans in the USA. And that situation came about because members of the other groups in that nation, who were very comfortable, had not been willing to look out across the barriers of their groups, notice that something was very wrong, and take action. Let us not pretend that everything is fine in our own land. We are largely, I suspect, those who are comfortable in the United Kingdom. Today, as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, let us allow the Holy Spirit to discomfort us a little and to challenge us to rediscover our unity in Christ with all human beings. Amen.
The prayers of intercession have been written for us by Emily Hutchings. Let us pray. The response to God of mystery and compassion is, hear our prayer. God of mystery and compassion, hear our prayer. Called by the great God we worship, let us pray for the church and for the world. We bring before you, O God, the needs of the church. Revive and refresh us. Teach us and direct us. Inspire all who preach, teach, and share the good news, and uphold those who suffer for their faith in any way. God of mystery and compassion, we bring before you, O God, the particular problems of our age and our culture. Renew in us a commitment to community and mutual trust. Give a sense of value to all who despise others and themselves. Protect the vulnerable and the lonely. Shore up those in America who are struggling to make their voices heard. And in this time of change and uncertainty in our own lives, help us to reach out to those in need in the community here. God of mystery and compassion, we bring before you, O God, the nurturing of our children, young people, as they begin to return to places of education. Be with them in their homes, with their parents, making choices in the expectations and pressures, and in the hope and possibilities for good. God of mystery and compassion, we bring before you, O God, the hungry and malnourished, the greedy and the complacent, those who are ill and those who care for them, the unhappy and those who comfort them, all who are undergoing surgery or painful treatment, and all who have no one to turn to. We remember those on our prayer list and any that we may know who are struggling at this time. God of mystery and compassion, we bring before you, O God, those who have died in faith and will now see you face to face. Those for whom death speaks of fear or annihilation, and those who are unprepared to meet you. This week we remember Lisa Braithwaite and Morris Collins, whose anniversary of death occurs this coming week. We pray for the repose of the soul of Steve, and we ask for your comfort for Jane and for all who mourn his passing. God of mystery and compassion, we bring before you, O God, our own lives and all that we, our successes and our failures. We thank you for the gift of life and ask that we may get to know you more deeply, day after day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our third hymn today, Write the Vision That Delighted.
for joining us in worshipping the one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are coming now to the end of the service, so I invite you to receive God's blessing. The Lord be with you. God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you and with all those whom you love and care for, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.